familiar. In this week's ArtCast episode, I'll be talking with the folks at OuterLink. With me right now is Steve Durante. He's CEO of OuterLink. We're going to talk about their latest solution, which leverages Bing Maps, Silverlight, Windows 7. It's a very interesting solution, but before we get into that, Steve, why don't you tell me a little bit about OuterLink?
OuterLink provides a satellite communications network that tracks high-value assets, primarily in the aviation and rotorcraft business. Our customers are air medical, air taxi, and some governmental assets. We operate primarily in the United States on a geosynchronous satellite. Across that satellite connection, we provide a situational awareness software application that sits in operational control centers across the country.
So your customers are using both your hardware and your software to be able to communicate to, let's say, helicopters that are taking accident victims to hospitals or maybe even taking someone on a tour of the Grand Canyon or something like that.
That's right. Real-time communications with high-value equipment and human lives every day, every minute.
That human safety is key to your solution.
It's a primary driver for why our customers buy our products and use our services. You know, I think that one of the important factors in what we're doing here is that we're a small company, and we do a very good job at designing and building prototypes and equipment. But what we've been able to do over the last year and a half since we started using Silverlight and a lot of the Bing Maps is that it's really been able to streamline our process. That what we do with the Bing Maps and Silverlight give us the ability to play in a big market, for a small company to play in a very big market, because we can move very quickly and we can produce very serious pro tools for our customers. Where, you know, 5 years ago, this wouldn't have been achievable.
Right, so in the past, you had a traditional client-server solution.
That's right.
There's a lot of, you know, hardware that had to be installed at the customer site. Now, with this approach, more of a software plus services approach, you're able to deliver the client portion over the web, and the customer support aspect of things has gotten a lot easier because there isn't all that software and hardware installed at the customer headquarters.
That's right. All of our resource planning for the whole company has changed now because we can move very quickly. We can deliver product and services 10 times faster than we were able to maybe a year or two ago. And we can do it with a small staff. So when our customers have a huge appetite for the latest and the greatest, and every day, every week, really, we're turning out something that's newer and better than it was a week before, and we're doing that with far fewer people. And it makes our life a lot easier. It makes our business a lot more profitable, and it gives us the ability to go out and really crush the big companies out there because they can't move that fast.
That's interesting because, you know, from a software company's perspective, our goal is to produce tools that allow, you know, architects and developers to rapidly produce products, and, you know, time to market matters and productivity, and that's rippling right into your business models, and you can be that agile out in the marketplace as well as a result of that.
That's exactly where we are. We've gone from a very traditional engineering business model where we designed and built our own electronics, we designed and built our own software applications, to taking a very different approach. And to be honest with you, the devices sit in the back of a helicopter. What our customers really see is the software applications that we put on their screens to track their assets. Everything on that, every ping on those screens are million-dollar aircraft with human beings, and sometimes those human beings are in need of medical attention, and a hospital needs to know how far they are away. They can do that with our equipment. And they can do it more. They can do it quickly, more effectively with the tools that we've developed now, as opposed to our competitors, who in most cases are large companies that have just a division doing what we're doing.
So now I'm talking with Rod Danielson. He's Vice President of Engineering at OuterLink. Rod, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's first talk about the client-server challenges that you have?
Well, our original client server system was based on a VB6 application, and it was actually three components. It had a mapping component, it had a messaging component, and then it had what we call, you know, the contract hub, which is a data connection to Outerlink proper. So what it would do is the hub would connect to Outerlink proper, and then the applications behind on the customer's network would actually connect to the hub, and do, that's why we do the conversations with the helicopters and the tracking. What happened on that was, besides being VB6, it really led to a lot of customer support issues, because now you're dealing with an application that was installed within the customer's network, and you had to play nicely with Windows security. And when the application was originally designed, it was designed back, you know, you're talking Windows 95 going into the early part of XP, where the domain security really wasn't what it is today. So, you know, certain things were left in the program files, directories, certain things were, you know, set up with no thought given to local firewalls and machines versus, you know, firewalls for the company network. And when we would get customer support calls, the first thing you have to try to figure out is, where is the disconnect happening? Is it happening at the firewall for the company network? Is the disconnect happening between the client PC and the internal data hub? And it was really difficult for the people to actually figure out, we disconnected from this database. Okay, we just disconnected that database. Why? Was it actually because it was a network error, or was it because there was new security applied to a user and they now lost the rights to see where the database was being held?
So it was really, it was a support nightmare, if anything, if there were any issues. And this is very like, this is the mission critical application for these customers. And obviously, Outerlink, a small agile company, you didn't necessarily have all the feet on the street to go and service on site and do that. So it was a challenge.
Oh, it was a huge challenge. And inevitably, that problem happens at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Of course.
So, it's really difficult for a small company to have people on staff to answer internal networking errors for another company, you know, at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
So you then saw this next wave of architecture that would leverage a combination of software plus services delivered over the web. Tell me how that now is working for you.
Well, before we actually made the move to Silverlight, one of the things on our architecture is we require the IP sockets, TCP IP sockets. The reason we require the IP sockets is, when we receive the message from the satellite, we want to be able to put that on the map as fast as we possibly can. And if we went to more of a web services architecture, we would be polling the service, looking for data every time it came in. So depending on how quickly we wanted to pull, we would put some latency into the message. So we chose to stick with the IP sockets so that we could actually maintain right now we maintain about 2.3 seconds from time of transmission to time of display.
That's obviously important when safety is at the heart of your solution.
Kind of a frame of reference, a radar sweep is about 13 seconds. So we can actually be really close to on time with the radar sweeps. So, and that's why we want to stay with the real-time push technology. So when we started looking at the different technologies, and when Silverlight came along, and the fact that they actually included sockets made the web delivery become reality for us, because we could still connect into our real-time system and put up a mapping and a text interface that was comparable to what we would have installed on our local clients.
Great. And then, and in your Silverlight client, you opted to use Bing Maps. I'd like to hear about that. And also, maybe, you know, how did you go about doing some of the user interface design work now that you're working with a rich internet technology?
On the Bing Maps are just absolutely awesome. One of the problems with our older client server was we were using very large data sets that were installed in the local client to do all the map rendering. And the data set itself was probably 2 to 3 gigabytes. So for us, you know, when people wanted to have map updates, it was, we'll send you a CD, we'll have you load it, hopefully, you know, the installation goes good and nothing, you know, nothing really goes wrong, to with the Bing, and especially with the Bing Silverlight control. We started the Bing HTML or JavaScript control, but by moving into the Silverlight, it was the integration was simple. The maps are phenomenal. I mean, our customers absolutely love the detail.
Yeah. And you actually have to overlay data on top of the map.
Correct.
So tell me how you're doing that.
Well, right now, and especially one of the things we have in our application that we do overlay is real-time weather. And so the real-time weather actually comes down in vectors from the Outerlink system. And we load them up and actually rasterize it locally within the Silverlight control. And it's beautiful because you can zoom in and out and keep the edge is basically perfect. You know, when you zoom in on a bitmap, you kind of get pixelation.
Right.
And so by keeping with the vector format, keeping
that. You scale those images up and down very beautifully.
That's right. Nice.
And you can check rain and clouds. And so when you're dealing with aircraft, that's obviously very important.
Correct. Now, when we actually sat down to design it, Steve Durante, our CEO, brought his son and his Xbox in, and we kind of sat down in the conference room, closed the door, and broke out the games. And
I love that part of the story.
It was a day of watching how people react to different things on the screen and trying to emulate the displays of the game. So it gave you all the information you needed to know at the particular time and kept the things you didn't really need to know all the time somewhat hidden,
right,
until you actually need it, and then made it easy to bring it up and actually complete your task, make them go away and go back to what you really need to see.
So that traditional UI that you know, we grew up with, right? WinForms app with the file, edit, view menus, and dialog boxes has, you know, evolved. It really, in a lot of cases, moved away to where you just, like you said, you have all the information right there at your fingertips on the screen in the right location. Anything that's secondary, maybe buried one level deeper, but the hierarchy is much flatter.
Right, and when you say at your fingertips, that's really the truth, because by using the Windows 7 interface with the multi-touch, we're able to actually make it so when you see something on the screen, you can touch it, and as soon as you touch it, you actually bring more information on whatever you're touching, and that is better than I need to go find my mouse, I need to go find my keyboard. It's a lot easier just to be able to say, I want to see this unit, so recenter the map on that touch the unit, bring up more information. It's more what people want to do. I mean, when you sit down and you're working on something, the first thing you want to do is touch it. So that's why by moving into the multi-touch, we think we're going to have a much better interface going forward.
I think it's exactly the right type of scenario for touch, right? You've got these dispatchers, and my understanding is sometimes they're actually sitting in front of four, five, or six monitors. Each of them running the console application, they're trying to track many assets in many different locations. If they had to move between multiple keyboards and mice, that would be kind of cumbersome, right? The ability just to reach over to the screen, touch it, bring up the information, communicate with the pilot, all done through touch and voice is a very interesting solution.
Right, and now on that, I mean, when we originally, going back to the original system, every component would be a different application. It would probably be on a different screen. And we were able to roll everything into one main screen and give people access on that main screen to exactly what they need. And I think that was the biggest benefit for our users.